Welcome to How to Trade It, the road to trading mastery. Join Casey Stubbs, a seasoned trader, as he guides you to become a profitable trader. Find actionable insights, real life stories, and strategies to boost your trading skills. Don't miss the journey to trading victory. Start listening now. Connect with us at podcast@tradingstrategyguides.com. Trading profits are just an episode away.
Hi there, this is Casey Stubbs with a new episode of How to Trade a Podcast. I'm very excited to bring on Jessica Inskip, who is the educating leader at Options Play. Hi, Jessica. How are you doing today?
Doing good, Casey. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And we're recording right after Thanksgiving. So did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I certainly did. I was just talking to my colleague, Tony, how Thanksgiving used to be so much fun when you were a kid. But then when you become an adult, it turns into a chore with lots of cooking and dishes, but still fun nonetheless.
Yeah. And that's probably true for some people, but for me, it's still lots of fun because my mother-in-law does all the cooking and I just eat.
Ah, so yeah, you have the luxury then.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Excellent. How long have you been involved with options and in the financial industry?
I've started in the financial industry back in July of 2009. Started trading options probably about a year and a half after I got started. I actually work for a company called Scottrade, which doesn't exist anymore. So that certainly ages me a bit. But then from there, went on to a couple different companies. My vast majority of my career actually spent at Merrill, where I ran the strategy for everything engaged trader, which is options, margin, day trading, technical analysis, front-end, back-end, systems capabilities, as well as education. And then I recently moved in February of this year to Options Play.
So with that, at Merrill, were you primarily dealing with retail traders?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So I worked on Merrill Self-Directed, which is the retail side. Since Merrill, though, is they call it the continuum, but is a bank and a brokerage with wealth management, self-directed, and even super wealth management. I'll call it for the super wealthy. There is a lot of legs, but I was primarily focused on self-directed. Yes.
And so now that you're with Options Play, is that the same type of education? It's geared towards retail investors?
That it is. So this is where I took my job and really broadened it. So at Options Play, completely different side. So I'm now a vendor, whereas before I was the client. So now I kind of do what I did for Merrill for a lot of different brokerage firms. So I'll consult with strategy, but I also provide a lot of educational content in addition to data. So lots of hats I wear.
So what's working right now as far as strategy with options?
Yeah. So it's just like we were talking about earlier, it's a different type of client that's in the marketplace. So COVID happened, right? And what I find is so interesting is a lot of the brokerage firms, or at least at Merrill, we were preparing for the great wealth transfer. And that's right before COVID happened. And we saw an influx of robo-advisors, if you remember those coming out, and automatic investing, because that was seen to be the way of the future. However, you can't anticipate what a client's actions will be or where their headspace was. And so when COVID occurred, that's when we got an influx of the meme traders, which then got addicted to that adrenaline rush and then got into options trading. And then that's really, really grown exponentially. And the OCC, you can find it on the OCC website, they keep beating records as far as options that have been cleared, which just simply means, in layman's terms, there is a lot of options trading at record levels consistently month over month. And it's a newer investor.
So options trading is growing. A lot of it had to do with the COVID. We got a big flux of traders. A lot of them were meme traders. And so how does that actually play into strategy? I was talking with Zoe Berry And she is the head of a new brokerage that's, and I can't remember the name of the brokerage, forgive me, but she was telling me that what makes her brokerage interesting is that they show everybody's position. It's like a transparent social trading platform. And she said most of the meme traders were losing tons of money.
They do. Well, it's because you are, I don't want to use the word gambling, but unfortunately what happens with the meme trading is there's not true valuation. And so when earnings come out and there is valuation of that underlying security, it was just a function of supply and demand, the ant method. So if a lot of people come in, produce a gamma squeeze, you are going to put the security up just because of a function of supply and demand. If there's a lot of buyers, there's a lot of demand. Therefore, that pushes the security up. But then when valuation comes in and they didn't beat earnings or they're not, the price is overvalued relative to where they should be from a valuation perspective, then it pushes it back down and gives you that influx of supply. So I think that's interesting from a meme perspective. But as far as that new type of trader, it's also that younger generation and a different mindset. There's so many studies, a great one by Deloitte actually, that gets into the head of the millennials and Gen Z. And it kind of speaks to the way that they think. And I think as a corporation, from a strategic perspective, you have to position things accordingly.
So with that being said, I like what you said with valuation. So valuation is important, like with the meme stocks, it's just not really there. What is seeming to be working right now in the options world as far as strategy?
Yeah, so that there's certainly different type of risk tolerances when it comes to options. And there are definitely certain options levels. So it depends really on the personal level as what's working. But there are just some simply finite rules that you can apply in regard to options. So one being risk aware. We definitely like to skew risk versus reward in your favor. So meaning that a tasty trade thought process, trade small, trade often. If you've heard that,
right.
You know, we have all heard of Mr. Tom Sosnoff. If you are only allocating, we'd say 2% of your account, and you make sure that your trades are skewing risk versus reward in your favor. So meaning I'm going to be able to make 3 times more than what I risk. You are more probable to be successful because you have a disciplined approach and a process that is inclusive of optimization from a risk perspective, in addition to best practices for entry and exit points. So it's not necessarily, oh, this specific trade is working. It's this process is working. And that applies heavily to options because you add a layer of complexity. There's an expiration date. Theoretically, you can hold a stock forever. Not an option.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. But that's one of the reasons why you can profit more too, is because there's a little leverage to it and a little more risk, but it can move quicker because of that.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's good. And I agree with you completely. 100% agree. Process is important. It's important in trading. It's important in business. It's important. You know, if you're an athlete, you have a process. High performance people that are high performers have processes. They do things a specific way because then they can evaluate what's working and what's not working. So that makes a lot of sense to me. I wanted to jump back to the beginning of the conversation because you said that when COVID first started, you were getting ready for the great wealth transfer. And when you said that really, I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I want to be a part of that. What is the great wealth transfer? Did it stop because of COVID, or is it still ongoing? Like, what is that? What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so that's such a great question and something we haven't talked about too broad based yet, which I think we certainly will. So think about the largest generation, which is the boomers, right?
Yeah, my dad's
generation. They have yes. Yes, that generation. And a little bit earlier, they're one of the wealthiest generations. And so that's what that great wealth transfer is the inheriting of assets. So it's generational wealth that's coming over. And so if you're a younger person who is going to inherit a huge amount of wealth, and then the numbers, going to be relatively close to this. I think it equated to about $220,000 per person. Now, each person obviously is not getting $220,000. You've got some people who are inheriting $10 million.
There's the top people. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the difference of averages versus means or medians. But that does put it into perspective that it's a large amount of money that a younger generation is inheriting. And so as a brokerage firm, you make a lot of money off of assets under management. So you want to make sure that you are setting yourself up for success and you're going to be the brokerage firm of choice for that younger person that inherits that wealth. So you have to make sure that you have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that younger person who inherits that wealth is tactfully allocating it and not gambling it away. But ultimately, it's their decision. And now there's an influx of technology as well. So yeah, that's the great wealth transfer is generational inherited assets.
Okay. So this is interesting. So we have the great wealth transfer and then all of this transfer is happening and everyone goes and buys meme stocks. And so what does that mean? Does that mean that the big hedge funds and the brokers are just going to steal all that money because these guys are just going to lose it on meme trades?
No, not necessarily. If they lose it, it's gone. That's just the way it works. Well, if it goes down, there's valuation.
The other side of the trade gets it.
Not necessarily. I mean, because if you've got... It depends on who's taking it. It's not if there is a buy and there's a sell, but if there's a market maker involved with it, or if it's through a dark pool or whatever, that order routing system, completely different conversation. Normally that market maker is taking and creating a delta neutral portfolio where they offset those positions. So it's not necessarily somebody's long and somebody's short that position. Not necessarily true in that regard, but yeah, there is definitely positioning. And then it's just like if you bought a house, maybe at the peak. I mean, now's not a great time, but housing prices are coming down. Let's just keep going with this analogy. So let's say that you bought a house very, very recently, and now the Fed's raising interest rates and it's going down in value. If you still own that asset, it's still going down in value. And if you sell it, someone else is going to get it at a lower price, sure. But there wasn't somebody who, it's not net zero, it's a different point in time. And there was still a broker involved within that transaction. So it's a little more complex than just you win, I lose.
Yeah, well, that's pretty interesting. So great wealth transfer, it's going to be very interesting to see. So I'm going to now jump around to your bio because I think it kind of ties into what this conversation with the great wealth transfer is. You said that you have a passion for advocating financial literacy. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means?
Yeah. So it's so interesting and almost a controversial topic, which I don't even know if you realized it was.
I'm all about financial literacy, but yeah.
There we go. I think it's so important. I agree. And that's great. And it's certainly my passion. It's because I have spent a lot of my career learning as much as I can. And a part of my personal brand, I suppose, is I always find myself in a layer of education, whether it's to a training group, to a broader audience, like it is now, internally, externally. That's something that always I find. Now, where it gets slightly controversial is when I switched over to options play, I also had to give up my financial licenses. So I was licensed for about 14 years. Now I no longer have those licenses, but that's why I'm now able to have broader educational content, like on my TikTok or on my firm's or on Options Place TikTok and YouTube and things like that, because now we've taken out the compliance arms, because you're not allowed to produce educational content if you're licensed, because you're sponsored by a broker dealer and they're required to review every inch of your educational content. So therefore, it's just simply not permitted. And it's not their fault whatsoever. It's just the way that the rules are set in place to prevent misinformation. But unfortunately, those rules were created a long time ago before we had these social media platforms and broad-based education. So unfortunately, some people provide education that just learns something and there's great information out there, but then there's also a lot of misinformation. So that's where my passion really emerged from, is I've spent a whole career juggling legal risk and compliance and writing education for those bigger brokerage firms. And I just think that it should not be held at purely the brokerage firms.
Hello, this is Casey, and I wanted to take a minute to tell you about my new book that just came out. It's called Complete Trading System. This is my 25 years of trading experience, sharing everything that I have learned in how to make a profit from the markets. You're going to learn about how to find the right instruments to trade, how to find a trend, how to get started as beginners. You're going to learn about how to get the right mindset, and you're going to be able to put it all together to create a trading system of your own that will work for you. I highly recommend that you try it out. Just click the link right now. It's called Complete Trading System. It's available on Amazon. Thank you. Go ahead and check it out. I think you're going to love it.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I'm going to give you a disclaimer on the front end, because this is kind of a silly question, but it's more of an opinion. This will be your opinion. What do you think is the state of financial literacy in the United States right now?
Oh, I'm curious if there's a stat behind this, if this is a quiz or what's happening here.
Strictly opinion. Like, what do you think from your observations, which obviously were limited, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think that there is a want for financial literacy. And I think that there is a lot of jargon out there that prevents people to have a full encompassing financial literacy. And there's also a lot to learn. So I think when people take the time to learn about finance, that they are, and there's some good information, but I think there is so much to learn. And that's a broad question. So is that understanding how the stock market works overall? Do people understand how an index is comprised, how a stock makes money, how those valuations are, economic headwinds that are outside of that, and how that affects the underlying security, how interest rates do, inflation, how the consumer works, economic data. So it could be, there's financial literacy. It's so broad. There's not. Right.
And that's kind of like, I mean, I think what you're talking about is like maybe next level, like economic professor type stuff, you know,
sure.
Like I'm working as an economist for
but that's how the stock market works.
Yeah.
But I mean, at minimum, I think people, we don't have to make it that hard. You know, you shouldn't have to be a professor or an economist to understand that. It's the consumer is you and I, are people spending money, period. And I think there are easier ways to explain that.
So how do you think that in general people do is with some of the basics, like maybe even something like, you know, understanding the concept of money and how money works, maybe even just some of the real basic stuff of like managing your own personal finances, how to manage credit, things like that. I mean, we get people that are trying to make money in the stock market, and yet they're kind of jumping ahead, right? They might not even have the foundations, and yet they're like, oh, well, I don't need to worry about those foundational skills because I'm going to try to make money by buying GameStop.
Well, and that right there, I think, speaks in itself, is buying GameStop to make money is not investing. That's trading. And that's okay. There's a way to trade. Absolutely. And you're certainly correct in the series of events. But I think in regards to how I should have an emergency fund or protecting your credit, there is a wealth of information out there that does that really, really, really well. And I think that if you want access to that education, you are absolutely going to find it. If you want access to all of this type of education, you will find it. I think when you you had a great point earlier, when you take it to that next level of understanding the impacts and really diving into the data, that where I think there's a little bit of a gap in the industry.
I think that the information, your point is on point again, the information's available for people that want it. And so your passion is for advocating for financial literacy. So there is, the information's there, but people either are not able to find it, or maybe they don't know they need it. Maybe the situation is they don't know there's a problem. If you don't know there's a problem, you can't fix it, right?
Of course. Yeah, that's a great point. But that's why, your podcast is great. And just, I think when the first time I talked to people who are trading for the first time, the first piece of advice that I always give them is learn as much as possible and keep learning. That's why I love the stock market, is there is so much to learn about, and you have to have that mindset, because technology is going to change and shift things. Processes are going to adjust, and you need to be agile and learn yourself.
Yeah. And that can be rather intimidating, at least for me, because I feel like I've been doing this a long time. And so I'm always learning, and I enjoy learning. And every time I learn a new skill or a new thing in the market, that's one of the great reasons of having this show, is because I am interviewing smart people all the time, right? So I use this show to put out great content for the people to listen, but it's also for me to learn. And so I feel like every time I master a new concept, I learn, get a new guest that just kind of blows my mind, I feel like I'm getting better at what I do. And it gives me an advantage with investing and trading, which is huge. But at the same time, sometimes it's a little overwhelming too.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the stock market, though. It's especially when you get into the trading aspects, it's a community. We learn from each other, and it's a beautiful thing.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after a message from our sponsor. This is Casey Stubbs from the How to Trade It podcast. 2022 was a disaster for most traders. Do you want to stop losing? Are you sick of endless hours of research only to find out you're too late and you're missing the best trades? It's time to get the upper hand in making informed trading decisions. I'm releasing a new service called Swing Trading Reports. Each Sunday before the market opens, I will bring you up to speed on the latest market trends, including the S&P 500, gold, Bitcoin. We make it easy to follow so anyone can understand this report, no matter your experience. Plus, we do bonus video content as well. The normal price for this is $75 a year, but we're bringing it down to $50 a year for podcast listeners. And remember, that's 52 reports, one report every week for $50 for an entire year. That's less than $1 per report. But you got to use the code HowToTradeIt25 when signing up. Again, the code is HowToTradeIt25. The link will be in the description. You can visit swingtradingreport.com to join the community of successful traders today.
So right now, with your options educational role that you're providing, what types of content are you preparing and putting out right now?
At Options Play, we do a lot of educational content. And we also write it for your brokerage firm as well, and you may not even know it. But we do a lot of courses. So we recently did one on the wheel strategy, which is a really popular course by name, but really it's just the way that options traders trade for the long term, buy and sell stock, and create an income stream at the same time. So it's a really long-term strategy that's applicable in a bull, bear, or neutral market. But we offer courses, and we also have our YouTube channel has a ton of free content on there as well, where we just explain the options basics even. We get into condors, but the goal of Options Play from an education perspective is we want to make sure that you're supported and you understand how options work. And then Options Play is also a tool itself, where it's a reimagined data view. If you've ever seen an options chain, it's full of so much data. And if you're a good options trader, you're going to look at delta, gamma, implied volatility, IV rank, and a couple of other items on the chain to give you an idea of what trade you want to place. that all can be automated, and that's what the tool is designed to do. And again, it's integrated with a lot of brokerage firms, but we make sure that our education complements application as well.
Okay, that's actually pretty interesting. I'm very curious about that. So how does the automation work? So you have education that teaches if you want to do it manually, and it also has education that teaches you how to do automated trading. So how does your automated trading work?
Yeah. And when I say automated, I mean, it gives you a starting point. It's not a machine that's going to buy and sell, but it scans an option chain for you. So it's a starting point. So like earlier, we were talking about risk versus reward. That's the way that you should prioritize your options trades. And so you can set up the system to do a certain allocation of your overall portfolio. So you could say, I only want to use 2% of $100,000 or whatever range that you want to put in there. You can say you want to be conservative or aggressive or whatever that would be. We start with giving you ideas. So based on an underlying security, so it's based on technical scans. So this might be showing bullish momentum or bearish momentum. You can also pull it by sectors, high implied volatility or low implied volatility, perhaps earnings is coming up and why. That's just the what you should be paying attention to. Then within the second widget, we call it the how or the why. So say you find Apple for some reason, then you plop it into the middle tool and it gives you the option specific data that you need. So like IV rank, it's going to tell us if something's more expensive or not, but then it's just the technical part of it as well as some valuations. But is it stuck in a trading range? Is there bullish or bearish momentum? What's the 1 month trend, 6 month trend, support and resistance timeframes? And then the practical application is once you've done that validating process, then it gives you an options play idea based on the sentiment. So it pre-populates the sentiment all the way through, but you of course can adjust it because it's a flexible tool and then compare and contrast, but it focuses risk versus reward and just takes away all that noise that is within a traditional options chain.
Okay. Well, that's pretty useful. So you're gathering data and basically doing analysis. You're doing an analysis and then, you're showing a strategy with the analysis in play. And how does this all get done? Is this via a web portal?
Yeah. So it's a web portal. You have a login. It's not connected to a broker dealer, but what we do is you can hit trade. And then it gives you a checklist even. So if you, people are sometimes concerned with being assigned early, we'll give you an indication that that probability is high. We will tell you if earnings are coming up or a corporate action. So those are things you want to know before you're trading an option or a stock, but definitely an option. If there is liquidity there, if it's with the market trend or the underlying trend. And so there's a lot of specific data based on your strategy. And then we tell you exactly how to put it into your brokerage firm.
There's probably a learning curve then. But if you're an options trader, you're going to know this. But if not, there's still a learning curve because that's a lot of data to process.
That is. And that's why we offer so much education. So we make sure that when we teach the foundational elements that could be applied anywhere, but we also teach you how to utilize that platform and give you the why behind it, which is so important.
Yeah. And so do you guys do any type of, if I have questions about maybe a trade or something like that, would you be able to give me some feedback or ideas or anything like that?
Yeah, we do. We have a customer service team. It's available 24/7. Oftentimes there are sometimes even some super difficult questions and they'll end up coming on my desk or Tony's desk or Prakash's desk, in which case we'll send a response as well. So a lot of our members come just for that, as we'll explain what happened or why you got assigned early, what to look at. And then we create educational sessions around that for all of our members. And might I add, we also do daily, we call it a daily play. So we'll give you a trade idea for the day. And that's just everything, all the work done for you. Our chief strategist is Rick Bensignor. So he actually used to be the chief strategist over at Morgan Stanley. So he gives us really great market direction and is really the brain behind our daily play ideas. But we tell you when to close them and the why behind it. And I think the why is what's really important from an educational perspective is that also teaches you how to utilize the platform is, hey, here's the daily play idea, why this is an idea. Maybe it's conditional, but it's just a great tool all around from that perspective.
Yeah, that's very useful. So when you say assigned early, what does that mean?
Yeah, so whenever you are selling an option, you're creating an obligation. So the biggest assigned early example is a covered call. I think that's one of the most common strategies. So you own 100 shares of Apple at, I don't know, 150 per share. You sell a call at a strike price of 160. Let's say it's good for 30 days. You're obligated to sell your shares of Apple at the strike price of 160 at the person who bought that contract's discretion. So a great analogy for that is if you are selling an option, you're the passenger, the person who purchased that option is the driver. They have the right to execute upon the terms of the contract. If you go left or right, it's up to them. But as the passenger, you can get an idea where they're going. Are they coming to a stop sign? Things like that nature. So assigned early means you're assigned before that options expires. And sometimes you don't want to do that, especially say you owned Apple for a really long time. That may incur a tax event, or you chose a strike that was a little bit too low. So that's all part of the education perspective of what as well, and could be an hour-long conversation. But for covered calls, if you don't want to be assigned, there are very easy ways to avoid that.
Okay.
Part.
Yeah, that would be helpful. And you wouldn't want to be assigned because you could lose your shares, right?
Right. But it is a contract. You create an obligation. You are obligated to lose your shares the second that you sell that contract. Yeah, create an obligation at a price you're willing to sell them at. That's all it is.
Okay. Yeah, very helpful. So Jessica, thank you for sharing. Very helpful, useful. I enjoyed the conversation. Can you tell us how to find you and connect with you and learn more about what you're doing right now?
Sure. Yeah. All over social media now. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's a new one for me. But as far as the education perspective, definitely Options Play. If you go to optionsplay.com, if you'd sign up for our email list, you get lots of information as far as the educational offerings that we have. We have a lot of free events and we also have paid events as well. But yeah, lots of different areas.
Yeah, that sounds good. So what we'll do is we'll have all of your social media links connected in the description. So if you're listening to the show, just check the show description. We'll have all those links, and we'll have a link to optionsplay.com where you can check out the options dashboard, sign up to the newsletter, and get access to a great deal of education or some tools as well. So Jessica, again, thank you so much. And for everybody that's listening, just check it out. Connect with Jessica on social media. She'll reply to you. She replied to me right away. And it's good. You can ask questions and learn a great deal. That's one of the big benefits of social media now is you have access to people, expand your education. But Jessica, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Casey. It was a blast.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. We'll see you all on the next episode of the How to Trade It podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another insightful episode of How to Trade It with Casey Stubbs. We hope you found today's discussion valuable and inspiring. Remember, the road to trading mastery is a continuous one, and your commitment to learning and growing as a trader is the key to your success. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please reach out to us at podcast@tradingstrategyguides.com. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep trading your way to victory. Until next time.